I'm gonna get Rocky on the phone here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's see, how do I... Okay. Hold on, brother.
Okay. I'm
doing well, Rocky. And Patrick, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay. I'm recording this on a digital recorder, and I'll put it up when we're finished. Rocky, I've been sending you this stuff in regards to your situation there in Colorado with those actors, those agency actors. And Patrick has done some incredible research over the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, but this guy is he's not stopped, and his whole outlook on how this is operating is completely different than we've assumed and we've presumed. And today I got a thing from Richard Orrin Smith, where a judge just came out and said that the administrative court system is illegal after 81 years. And in the story, it says this is why the agencies cut deal with big houses and prosecute the small upstarts. It says there could be anyone's brother-in-law looking for a job where he just rules in favor of the agency not to be bothered with the law. Unless the victim has a pile of money, there's no real chance he or she can afford to defend themselves. So on that SF-30 that Patrick prepared, he's showing the party there as, hold on 1 second, please. On the original, on the contract, the SF-30, the one to amend or modify the contract, pursue it, or specifically for that birth certificate of life, birth document, you're showing in box number 8, United States Bankrupt Corporation, care of the Department of Interior, Washington, D.C., and there's no zip code there. So this is what, if we were going to look at getting Rocky started in this, because he's being attacked pretty heavily, the first thing he'd want to do, because he does have a DD-214, is to do these ones that I've sent him, mine, and do the non-UCC filing document, which I sent him. That's called the stamp and certified document that has the Round Global stamp on it with your IA zip code and your by Patrick Devine. So I'm just wanting him to get set up in this. So now one of the questions I had in the UCC, the stamp and certified example, it says, on box number one, it says, INCOLA personnel, civilly dead, labor wagering organization. When you say INCOLA, what does that mean, INCOLA?
Well, when you look it up in the dictionary, it makes me that means to live in Persia.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, basically, we're INCOLA. We're not out of COLA. And see, we're not out of state. We're in state. We're in the state of man. And we're not out of state of man. Like, basically, a bond person is. Basically, that's just a good piano person. And see, that's all that the signature is a piano signature. It's a piano of your autograph. Okay?
Correct.
Okay, see, that's what the movie Peter Pan came in about. Peter Pan lost his shadow and had to get himself back on by Wendy, and Wendy represents the court, showing the shadow back on.
Right on. Now, this UCC official document, this document, along with some other documents, are mailed to you, mailed to yourself in registered mail, right?
Right. You keep a copy of it after you stamped and signed the stamp and posted it, and then you put it in the letter, and basically you're going to register and mail that back to yourself. You're going to keep that in an unopened envelope. That's the original.
Correct. Now, you got that June date of June 3rd, 2016. Did the people at the post office provide that for you?
No.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I'm a postmaster. See?
Well, yeah.
I'm a postmaster. We're the federal government.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. See, when we have that 9-digit zip code, that is our post office.
Yep.
See, the town post office, the government, they only have 5 digits.
Correct.
Yeah. And see, when you put down your 13-digit post office number, which would be like IA in my case, and then 52591-8236 as my post office, local post office, and post office box, and then put U.S. behind it, then you have a 13-digit number. And with that 13-digit number, mail can be delivered to you under that number from anywhere in the world.
Beautiful.
Because it's telling you, what state does this have to go to? What nation does this have to go to? And then what post office in the state? And then what box in that post office? So it's all right there. You don't need the address.
Yeah, yeah. So you're using the zip code. Do you have an actual post office box?
Oh, yeah, mailbox right down here. It's got a 4-digit number on it.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right.
Now, see, the post office assigned for every mailbox out here, they assign a mailbox number. And see, they can do up to 9,999. Okay?
Gotcha.
One shot at 10,000. If it gets close to about 70,000, though, or 7,000, they will turn around and establish a new post office.
Correct. A satellite.
Because they leave a little flexibility in there for new people moving in and out in the local area.
Yep. Okay, hey, Rocky, do you have any questions, brother? Okay.
Pat, I want to tell you, when I was on that one call that you and I talked about being in the middle of the next morning, I started doing what you were suggesting that you took my documents and everything, and I just sent out Monday. And I didn't have this information that I have now. Oh, no. I guess I didn't explain it to you right there or something. what is your problem that you got, Rocky? 10 years ago.
Federal government grantor owner
information, don't you, Tom?
No, I don't. You mean that I have the fax number for Philadelphia, but I don't have the call-in number.
Yeah, there should be a call-in, and I'll send you over that document for getting that.
Okay.
And then also, you need to get, and you can do this online, to get a state EIN for your Social Security person. Now, basically, I didn't fill out the SS4s on any of this, and I didn't call up Philadelphia. I submitted documents again to the IRS, the attachment, the 3520 and 3520A, that it called out on that 1099 Schedule B form, and I said, fill it out, fill it in Utah, and I tried to use my Social Security number as a EIN. Well, they came back and said, that's not an EIN, and they went out to Philadelphia and got it for me. They knew what I was trying to do, but, they went and got the number for me. Same thing, I called up the Wizard Georgia and checked them out and said, hey, that guy's a dead man. I said, I want a state, an estate EIN. Well, they went and got me an estate EIN and sent it to me.
So you're making reference to 3520A, which is the definition of U.S. person under 7701A31A, right?
Well, basically it was a tax form to what you had to declare a foreign plan of trust.
Gotcha.
You see, but if the misnomer is that foreign, it really should be federal plan of trust. And see, we can draw with that 98 series number out of the National Treasury. Okay? The National Treasury is held by the Treasury Department. Now, the Federal Reserve Bank is our bank also. We own that bank. But we have to get an estate EIN to come and claim our estate in there. But all of our assets are held under two bonds. A performance bond and a payment bond. And as you know, and this all banks deal with the FDIC. So the performance bond is for $250,000. I guess you're a state / Social Security person. Now, the payment bond is open-ended. Because you've been depositing, the oil companies have been depositing the excess 90% that needs to be deposited that belongs to the people, but then the companies, Bureau of Land Management and all their revenues that they get in, the water, all these items, they go into the Federal Reserve, but they go in under our payment bond with the FDIC. Which there is no value on that. It's open-ended. And see, we are the owners of that. That's part of the state. Our entitlement of state. From all the products that are basically produced by the corporations from the ground, and they have to deposit. Now, Ford Motor Company goes out, and every corporation has to zero its books at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, they zero books. They have no money. What do they get? They go to the Federal Reserve Bank. They draw a guest on a payment bond in the Federal Reserve Bank. They turn around, and then they build a car. They set up two contracts in construction. They set up a contract, construction contract, to build that vehicle. But they have to have two bonds in place, a performance bond and a payment bond.
Correct. That's where the premise of prepaid under H.R. 192 comes into play.
Yes, I'm getting to that, okay?
Okay.
Now, is what, see, I bought a car a year ago. I paid for it. But I didn't see what I needed to do right then and there. So anyway, Ford Motor Company gets this, and then they go out and they sell the car. So they get the money back in for the payment bond that they have, and they put the payment back into the Federal Reserve Bank. Okay, so it's sitting over in the receipt. I have to go out and take that receipt, and I'm really on paperwork right now on this, and that's where I sent the package out. There's a package this morning. We used a 1047 form also.
Yep.
When we send this in, and that is a receipt voucher. So I'm putting in the receipt claim for that $25,055 that I paid for the motor company for that vehicle. And see, they had to deposit that money into the Federal Reserve Bank, so I'm just going to go to the Federal Reserve Bank and reclaim that payment back.
So now you removed that amount from the Federal Reserve circulation, which has reduced the national debt. That's beautiful.
Right. And see, this is all, when you deal with the payment bond, it's all non-taxed because it's low interest. The low interest bonds, insurance bonds, it's less than 0.3%, it's about 0.35%. Okay, now, the payment bond is sitting at anywhere from 3.5% to 5%. And these guys can write anywhere from 10 to 35 times the bond value, or the bonds, for the value that was borrowed.
Wow.
I mean, this is all about banking and then understanding bonds and the process. You know, you see, all mortgages are fully paid for by the performance and the payment bond for that mortgage at the end of 3 years.
Well, it's funny. It's funny, Patrick, because I've seen these MoneyNet daily transfer logs that came out of the San Francisco Federal Reserve showing that the source bank was the applicant's SSN number, and the fact that the bank was never the originator of diddly squat, you know?
They don't have any money. How could they ever borrow any money, and they can't borrow their own money out?
Yep.
That's against the law right there.
Yep.
Last night, this morning, they have that $250,000. I said, shit, now I see the $250,000 against the divorce bond, but the payment bond is open-ended. They can't put a value on it.
That's why.
Because they can't. That can only be used as collateral. See, what more can they can't take the money out? They can only use it as a fictional collateral to build that automobile. But they can't take the hard assets out of that Federal Reserve Bank under the payment bond, protected payment bond with the FDIC.
So basically what they're doing is they're accessing the block grant credit as a corporation through the FDIC to go ahead and fund their expansion and produce stuff.
Right.
Yep.
And you see, we're doing it without them paying them. And they may not have borrowed all that much in the process. So all the extra funds that are out there, the accrual, the interest accrual, and from the performance and the payment bonds, going over to the shareholders.
Yep.
Now, why do you think Trump is making as rich as he is? Why do you think the Rockefellers have been to their shareholders in these damn corporations getting kickbacks? And see, that's what all the attorneys and everything else, they're turning around and putting fraudulent claims or service for their services into these construction contracts. Or our contracts against the performance bond.
Yep, that's why they're building a case. They're building a case. They're under construction contract.
See, that's what, when you talk to the FBI, you've got to be able to explain these things to them. And when you have your 98 series number and your state EIN number, they know, and you stand in there as a federal government owner, they fucking can't touch you if you've not violated one of the 25 commandments. Okay, so how soon, Jack? How do I go about getting banned? You've already said I got to call Philadelphia PA to get the 98 series EIN up. Who do I have to contact to get the Social Security estate number? Basically, you do that online. And basically, that's you can see the template, the SSR template, SS4 template, and then you just go online and you fill that out. Basically, you have that in about 10 minutes after you hit the submit button. Okay? But the 98, they, if you call in, depending on
I'm on a call.
And you might have to listen to a couple of people.
Phone call, brother.
Talk about that, how they called in to get that 98 series number. Because, see, those are the two key numbers, because those are bank routing numbers. You can either route the funds out from a corporation or from the National Treasury with the 98 series number. As you are a federal government grantor owner. And see, we as the federal government, we stand over these people. You know these drivers are like, where does it say in the 25 commandments, the original 10 and the American 15, that you need to have a driver's license? Nowhere. Under the Constitution, or somebody's talking to the citizens, you know, we have the Constitution. We stand over and above the Constitution, and the amendments are not under the Constitution. They really stand over the Constitution. What I'm saying is this, that in 1820, the United States Supreme Court ruled that when a federal law and a state law are in conflict, the federal law supersedes the state law. In 1926 and 1968, the federal government stated that if a right is converted to a privilege and a license and fee are charged, you are allowed to have it. Right, but see, that was really their client to observe, okay, in the process. The people didn't understand the usage of the federal government. The federal government is we the people. Okay, that's what the Supreme Court was trying to say, but they didn't come out and clearly say that, just like they didn't call the national constitution that we the people are the sovereignty of the nation. Now, most of the states do call that out, because the states also had to maintain a sovereignty in the process, as identified in the 9th and 10th Amendment. And see, that's why, which meant was that they allowed the voters to elect the senators. That took away the power and the sovereignty upon the states. The states were, the government of the state was supposed to elect the senators, not the people in general. Okay? And see, there's a lot of statutory laws that people don't understand. And one of the key ones is right in the original Constitution. Article 1, Section 10, okay, says there shall be no titles and no bills. There shall be no bills of credit. The states cannot issue bills of credit, cannot issue bills of attainder, cannot deprive a person of his right to trade, cannot have titles and no bills. They can't issue that. What have they done? The state, right now, the commercial state, the state of Iowa, or the state of whatever the fuck, has violated that constitution, because they're not under the constitution, they are outside of it. And the people are allowing those outsiders to come in and sit in our lawful government offices. Those judges don't have a right to be there. They're in violation of the Constitution, the state constitution, or the national constitution, and also in violation of the 14th Amendment. They are, not us. See, that's one of the problems to the patriots out there that couldn't read shit, and they tried to use all the corporate laws and all the statutory laws. They don't apply to the living person. They only apply to corporations. And then they were mentioned during the 14th Amendment entirely, thinking that maybe that put us into slavery. It didn't. It gave us our way out from the corporation, just like the night before, the Expatriation Act allowed us to break away from these foreign bankers, commercial bankers. You're talking about working on the internet. How do I obtain a federal ID from the foreign state? That's one of them. Okay, well, I'll send you over to Dr. Send him over to Tom or something. Get him over there. And maybe have him get him over to you by Skype or something. But they're on Econcurrent and also on We the People. And then I think there's an audio to go along with that. That there's also, on the last couple of calls, maybe two or three calls ago, one of the guys came on and he's helped about 70 different people get that 98 series number. So,
I just put Rocky's contact information in your Skype box, Patrick. So you guys have got contact now, okay?
Okay, so I can just send over there, okay?
Yeah.
But, this is all, when you understand how the banking system, and that's why I just kept pounding upon trying to get the perfection of understanding the bonds, and basically I was close to that when I sent in my initial package there into the UCC contract trust division, but I was missing having these as end points.
I've got a call coming in from my doctor. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Okay.
Patrick, on this SF 1047. I mean, this looks like, you know, out of memory lane here. This document was created in 1970 or 1981, and
1974.
Yeah, September of 1973. But it looks like something. Okay.
Now, see, that is a private document. See, that can only come in from you in the private, even though it says public voucher for refunds. It's really from a private individual. See, the corporations really can't use this.
Yeah, that makes total sense here. Now, when I'm looking at this in regards to multiple receipts for like going to the grocery store and stuff, do these have to be segregated per year? In other words, everything I spent in 1 year needs to...
No. Basically, you're going in and drawing from the general coffers in the account. Okay? So, the payment bond sitting under the FDIC in the Federal Reserve Bank. So you're putting a claim in for so much against that payment bond. You can basically take all of your one store's receipts, add them in there. You could basically take all your receipts, add them all together, and basically identify this and just have them set it off against. Lance Stewart is going to be giving you a payment back. They've already got a charter for Walmart or for Ford Motor Company putting the money back in there. Now all you're doing is coming in and saying, hey, I've got this credit. We see here to claim these credits back. You see, in most cases, you're also coming in to get an adjustment in the monetary system because you paid, like say, I paid $25,000 for that car. The price of that car, the commodity price, is only something like $1,800.
Yeah.
Silver.
Yep.
Okay, it's silver. So, by me putting this claim in for the receipt, I am getting my adjustment monetary currency adjustment back. So you're saying that I'd like in 2011 I bought a brand spanking new $36,000 in change. You're saying that I can, even right now, I can submit under, once I get all these documents filed, I can send that on another page and get that 56 plus back. You have to send in these four forms that I put out there. And that's F 30. You're going to do a modification on the contract. You do 14 to where you are coming in as the owner over your surety, which is your estate person. Okay, so you have to have your estate EIN, and then you put the SF 1047 in there. Again, this is coming in under reimbursement using your estate EIN as the bank routing number to route the funds out of the bank over to you. And then also, you put in the SF 1416 form against the FDIC payment bond. Okay? Very simple documents, not complicated. Okay? And basically, all we have to do is sign data and put our seal on it, which is our thumbprint. That's the only seal we really need to put on.
Is that when you say on the SF 1047, are you putting a seal on that document where you sign it, or is that where the paid box is at? Paid
box. I'm just putting my thumbprint on my signature. That's I just sealed my signature.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And then the same thing with all your other signatures. You always put a thumbprint with your signature on these forms.
So now.
Do the same. Just to cite your argument, we lost our house. That means I should pretty much do the same thing to get another house. Well, I would to the bank, okay? And the FDIC or the reimbursement, see, you have two contracts, okay? You basically have the mortgage contract with the bank. The full funds were there after 3 years. But see, they tried to claim you were the surety when the bonds were supposed to be the surety. And if you don't come in and claim all of that extra surety that's sitting in the bonds by coming in and collapsing that mortgage, then see, that's when you come in. That mortgage was a contract. So now you're going to come in with an excess 30 and modify that contract and claim all those assets in the bonds. Read UCC Section 2 Alpha 505. Okay? It talks about cancellation and liquidation of a UCC contract trust. And see, that's what these are. All these items we had were UCC contract trust. But they were leasing trust. They're not construction trust. Because how do you lease it? Our assets. You said UCC 2 Alpha 505? Right.
Rocky, I think I put that in there. If not, I will put that in there, like, right now. Hold on 1 second, please.
Most
Yeah, there's somebody. Yeah, there's somebody in Chicago that had 63 tickets and he was sentenced to 1 year in federal jail. Yep, that's just amazing.
Federal Reserve dollars that have been misused
you want just pay out here, you've got to take that $7.25 and multiply times 17, and that's what you should be getting paid in Federal Reserve dollars. Figure it out.
It's 19.
The rest of the Federal Reserve dollars are going into the Federal Reserve Bank. That's why you have a right to draw and get compensation back from the bank for your labor that you deposited there.
The current price of silver on Kitco is $19.47. Yep.
Okay, it's going up again now, huh?
Yep. So.
Yep. That is still a ballpark. I mean, the DCC, it does see you're getting, somebody out here is getting $20 an hour. But they should be getting 19 times $7.25.
Yep.
Or not. They're getting 1/16th, we'll say, of the value. The rest of it's going to the Federal Reserve Bank, and that's where you can come in and put a claim, do a modification against the contract with the FDIC, and draw out from the Federal Reserve Bank. See, we tried to use into the Federal Reserve Bank years ago with money orders and different things like that. Right?
Yep.
But we didn't get any headway with it because we were going against the Federal Reserve Bank and not against the FDIC, against the bonds using these asset forms. We were so damn close, but we were missing a couple things.
Yep.
And see, even about 4 months ago, I was trying to use these 1040 forms, but I didn't see the other asset forms that I needed to submit in with it. Now, I want to ask you a question, Pat.
Yeah.
Like I said a while ago, I've got to see this earlier than 10:30 Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her a copy of this QCC 2 Alpha Violet Diet and give her to her what will happen at that point. Well, take a copy of the SF-30, the SF-1414, the SF-1040, and the SF-1416, and the SF-1418, and ask her, have you ever seen these forms? Do you know how to use these forms? If not, get in touch with me, and I'll fill them out.
Okay, so now...
See, it's all about banking. That's what she needs to understand.
Yeah.
How to get you out of a banking scenario.
So basically, it's going to be, Patrick, I just want to go over this and make sure that we got this right. The SF-30, the SF-1414, the SF-1416, and the SF-1418 with the SF-1047, correct?
Right. SF-1047, yeah.
Okay.
No, give her those forms and ask her if she knows or if she knows how to fill them out. If she don't, tell her to... get in touch with me, or basically listen to the call, or whatever.
Now,
this is what needs to be set off, and you're coming in as the principal, the assurer. You're the assurer. See, that's what the FDIC was set up for. We need our assets. We granted so much with our certificate of deposit out of the National Treasury over to the bankrupt corporation, United States and state of all these bankrupt corporations. So we granted them usage of our national inheritance, treasury inheritance. So it's on deposit now. Under that certificate of my birth, then they also got us in under different contracts like the Social Security and Selected Service to the military to fund all these battleships and submarines and everything else out here in the Department of Defense. Okay? And see, we got a contract there under Selected Service number. The same that basically what the post certificate number is. What's the difference? What did you use the form 926 for? That is for transferring, ordering, when the UCC contract trust terminates and liquidates these accounts that we submitted in during the Social Security of DD 214 and those homeowners' credits out of the Federal Reserve Bank. Under those numbers, and converts them into wrongful silver dollars, then with that 926 form, they will deposit those into the national treasury. Then we will get a national treasury direct debit card from the treasury department, not the one from the Department of the Treasury, the direct express or the
treasury direct. I have a question for you. On this amendment, on the SF-30 for him right now, in box number one, the contract ID code would be the case number, and then where it has the name and address of contract would be the United States District Court, correct?
No. Okay. On the SF-30.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically,
you're not trying to sort. You modify the contract.
So then, the amendment of the solicitation number, that would be that solicitation number would be the court case number, then, right?
Yeah. In the amendment of solicitation, that would be the number that goes there. Okay, I got to look at that, and I said, shit, that's one of those damn traffic tickets where you need to go.
So that would basically be where any court case number goes, but the original contract ID code is either is the birth certificate number, the 109-57 da 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 da, right?
Well, or the Social Security number, or basically the driver's license number, or the certificate of title to the house.
And then also, too, the DD-14 would also be identified as a contract ID code, correct?
The Social Service number. But see, those go strictly out to the UCC Contract Trust Department in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Okay. So now, so give you my birth, Social Security, and the Social Service. Social Service will give you my birth, those three, okay? All your other ones are basically going to be mostly state licenses or state contracts. Okay, I'm trying to have one of these out right now as we're talking. So the guy I put the case out, which I just did it. Right. Okay, on the 10A, is there anything that goes there?
That's...
Yeah. It would be the same number that you have up at the very top in block one, which is the charging instrument. That is the instrument they're using to charge you. Your driver's license, your Social Security number, what? The certificate of title to the house, they need to have a contract number to charge you so that they can get you into claiming to be a principal surety when you're not. You're the principal owner, and you're supposed to be the insurer. So you need to have the contract number.
I
don't know what the number is right now. I would assume it would be your Social Security number. Well, that's what you've got to find out. What instrument, what contract are you charging me under? If there's no charge against the contract, there's no charge. They can't charge nothing. They've got to have a contract to charge you.
Now, Patrick, just for sake of argument right here, just for discussion, I think that it would either be, he'd have a SF-30 with his birth certificate number on, for one, and another one with the Social Security number on.
Okay. You don't get those out, okay? You have to find out what instrument they're charging, and they don't know your birth certificate number.
Okay. So most,
they can find out your Social Security number from your driver's license. But if it's a state clerk, they really can't use your Social Security number because that's a national number.
Yeah.
And this page is a federal criminal case. Okay. So I'll find out Friday, or I'll try to find out Friday what the number is that they can operate off of. And then on 9B, that would be the date that I was charged, correct? In 9B would be basically the date the court set up the charge. Trying to solicit you to concede, then they can turn around under that amendment of solicitation against that contract. And the court turns around and submits a charge in by way of bankruptcy against that contract. And now they get to pay. Okay, so I found out what the number is for number one. Amendment number two, amendment modification number. That would be the case number 10 to number 9. For the modification, you're talking about 10-8? I'm starting at the very top. Okay. Alright, number one would be the number that they're using to file
right.
Number two would be the amendment modification that you're going to make, and you're the only one that can basically modify this contract. They will try and amend it by a solicitation, but they never give you this UCC or this SF-30 form. Okay, that's another thing that you need to ask. I want to see if you've got SF-30 form on file. Okay, number three, I think to say that's going to be one when we get it done. Number three, that's the date that you fill this out, yes. Okay, number two, requisition purchase with registered number. No, disregard. Four, five, because, and seven, because that's all for a corporate entity. And they don't apply to us. And six, put my name in there. Your name and address, and you come in as a federal government renter owner. And you stand over these contracts, these bonded contracts. I'm writing this down as I do. Number eight. Would be the federal court? No. That is going against who the contract is, like the state of what the fuck. See, that court is just an agent for the state of what the fuck. Okay, so that's what I'm getting at. Since it is a federal court, then I would put the federal court in it. You would put the United States bankrupt corporation. And then that federal court is an agent for them.
Care of the United States District Court. Yep.
They are agents. But they're not the contract. You don't have a contract with the United States court system.
Correct.
You have a contract with the United States bankrupt corporation. With your certificate of life, with your Social Security account, and with the DD-214. Okay, now let's go down to number 11. Is there anything marked in number 11? No. And I don't see number 12, because 12 is the county and appropriation date. 13. It says any boxes checked in 13, the very first one. This change order is issued pursuant to the change set forth in item 14 made in the contract order number in item 10A. Okay, and see, you did a modification, you're going to do a modification in 10A, so you're going to do your contract number 01, okay? And then down in 14, you're going to address what you want
right there, and now they've got to do it. And then you come on down, so you come in, and if you want 13A, for instance, you say, the homeowners justify chargebacks or contractor false charges and owners labor chargeback adjustments. So you can put in, if you they throw you in jail, you can put in using 1416 for like $2-3 million.
How long were you, Rocky, how long were you in jail, brother?
7 days.
Okay.
So you put in, like, for, and I think it's on one of the court cases down in Florida, that basically anything over 24 hours was basically $180,000.
$180,000. No. Trezeban versus the city of Tampa, Florida was like $1,620,000 per hour.
No,
they're going to want to get rid of this like flies on, like a hot potato, man. Rocky, I'm recording this. I will send you this recording, brother.
Contractor. It is not our
you want two copies so that if this contractor refuses to sign it, and they, if they do sign it and they do not comply, now you go to the federal government, or the national government contractor investigative division, which is the CID. And these fuckers are scared to death of the CID.
Rocky,
the contractor investigative division.
Rocky, and this is where 15 USC and 15 USC 1 and 2 come into play, brother.
Yeah, they will enforce Title 15 USC Section 1 and 2. And basically, for a corporation that violates your right of trade and monopolizes the system, it's $100 million against a corporation. Against an individual, it's $1 million. Okay?
Rocky,
you let the CID do this, and then you can share in the payoff if you want to.
Rocky's really, really well versed in 15 USC 1 and 2, aren't you, brother?
Yes, brother, I am. But you let the CID, the contractor investigative division, look that over and see, that's the CID. It's not the criminal investigative division.
The criminal investigation division is actually a department of the Navy under the...
forget that. It's a Navy out of the IRS, out of the Secret Service.
Yeah.
The CID is, okay?
Yeah.
It's a hidden agency out of the Secret Service, which is out of the Treasury Department that was set up by Buchanan and Abraham Lincoln before the damn commercial bankers got involved. And see, the FBI is the federal banking investigators, okay? Right, not the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They're the federal banking investigators over the commercial bankers. And see, that's why they couldn't do anything to Hillary, because she had not really violated the laws. They see, you need to bring in the contractor to investigative division, and also bring in the IRS, because she has not paid income taxes. She has defrauded the we the people and the nation of the taxes that are due. And the FBI don't have jurisdiction over that. That's what they see that nitwit the FBI was saying. We don't have jurisdiction. Okay. UGC contract trust owner principle. I would put federal government grantor owner or federal government asset, like the one that I just did, and that's a state owner because I'm going after the FDIC and Federal Reserve Bank performance of payment bonds. And so you put a federal government debt. If you're doing a general one, I would do the Fed. Your name, semicolon, your last name, because you're not dead yet. And then federal government grantor owner. See, you are only required to abide by the 25 commandments, the initial 10 and the 15 ballot amendments. Those are commandments.
So it's going to be Rocky Hudson, Rocky semicolon Hudson, federal government owner.
Federal government grantor owner.
Okay, got it.
That is for the contractor to sign. Or the agent of the contractor, which would be the court.
The court.
You have to sign for the state of Iowa or the United States. And see, you look at all these court cases. The name of the contractor is on there. All capital, United States, that is a commercial contractor. All federal, state of Idaho, or state of Montana, that is the contractor. Okay. So that takes care of the first page. There's only one page to that. The what? There's only one page to
Yeah, ask your instructions, Rocky.
Okay. All right, I will get this done. In the meantime, I'm going to try to find out about trying to get 98 series EIN number.
Yeah, and the estate EIN. And I'll send it over to you.
Okay. And then Social Security estate number.
Yeah.
Now, Patrick, if that guy comes on the line today or tonight, I'll be on that call tonight, Patrick. But if he comes on and is the one that has been getting these 98 EIN numbers, maybe we can get a contact number for him so we can follow up with him in case Rocky
has it. Tom has it also. Okay.
Oh, Tom has it? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't have Tom's number. So anyway. All right, guys, let's just call this a time. I'm going to go ahead and call this an hour and 18 minutes, and I'm going to download this digital thing and send you guys off a copy of this recording, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to get started on this, and if somebody wants it, they can give me the phone numbers and addresses. I'm going to get those two EIN numbers as quick as I can.
Yeah,
and basically also take a copy of these into that public defender and basically whoever you got there and basically show them to her and say, hey, this can also pay your damn utility bills. See, you have a contract with the utility company. You turn around and do an SF-30 with it. Come in against the performance and payment box, and you come in and use the 1414 also, and you take one of the latest bills, you acknowledge that as a bill of credit, and endorse it back to them, and say shut off against the performance bond of this contract. And then you modify your contract and say, you are hereby ordered to take all future monthly bills and set them off against the performance bond, and don't bother sending me a bill until I modify this contract and say otherwise.
That's great. Now, Patrick, I put in on your Skype box here, if Tom could send me an announcement tonight for the call for we the shareholders or we the people to someoswilldie@yahoo.com, it'd be great.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thank you so much for your time, both of you guys. And Rocky, I know you're sort of under the gun, so I just wanted to get this information to you as quick as I could, brother, okay?
Arrest warrants. One for the magistrate judge, one for the county.
It's called the Federal Civil Arrest Warrant, a foreign UCC contrast trust example, yeah.
Because you have a picture on
it
of somebody. No, that's not the right one.
Okay.
That was for my birth certificate to arrest that contract.
Okay. Patrick, make sure that Tom sends me the thing for tonight, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Shalom. Bye-bye.